right. Turn again, if you will, tonight in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Last week we looked at a man named Stephen. We talked about Stephen and how mightily God used him. And he gave a mighty defense for the Christian faith. And folks, we could all be like Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit that will preach out the name of Jesus Christ, even if it cost him his life. But tonight we're going to look at another great man of God, I believe, one of the dynamic personalities in the Bible. And his name was Philip. In verse 5 of chapter 8, it says this: "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." Isn't that something? Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that wherever we go, whatever we do, we ought to preach Christ. Lord, I thank you tonight as we come to your house to study your word together and see what the word of God says for us in our heart tonight, Lord, that wherever we go this week, we'll be reminded to preach Jesus, tell people about Jesus. God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit brings out Philip, and he's talking to Samaritan people. He's just preaching Jesus Christ. You know, Saul was had a great zeal in his life, and it talks about Saul persecuting the Christians. He wanted to stop the Christian movement. The old devil was behind all of it. He's always behind the evil things in the world. And as he persecuted the church, it's always amazing to me that when the devil persecutes the church, then that's when the strongest work is done. I think about 9/11 and when we were attacked. The Christians rose up. People went to the churches like never before. Even our Congress got out on the steps and, talked about God. And, you know, it's during the persecution times that people turn back to God. Look at verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death, and at that time a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem." They were putting Christians to death. They were making havoc upon the Christian life. And the Bible says here, "And they were all scattered." In other words, they were all dispersed to all parts of the country throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. It says, except the apostles. This past week, a couple of weeks ago, I've been doing this for a long time. Every deer season, we go down and plant seeds and sow seeds. And I can remember, you're talking about early days in your life, I remember my daddy and plowing the fields, and we would go along and he would have us scatter and sow the seed. Well, that's exactly what happened here. You know, they were sowing the seed of Jesus Christ. They were sowing the seed of the gospel. When the winds of persecution came, they did nothing but scatter into the fields of the harvest of the gospel of Jesus Christ and sowed the seeds of God. In Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "Ye shall be witnesses to me unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world when the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You see? He says, you wait until that Holy Spirit comes, and then you go out into all the world and you sow the seed. Now, as they scattered, they were doing what? Evangelism. They were doing evangelism throughout the regions. And these devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. But it wasn't the preachers that was scattered. It was the people in the church. It was the Christian believers that were spread all over teaching and preaching the Word of God. I called one of my friends the other day and said, hello. He said, hello. I said, this is Booney. Are you saved? He said, no, why don't you tell me about it? I said, I can't, brother. I said, usually at this point, they shut the door in your face. And he just laughed, and we laughed together. But you know, that is what we do as Christians. We knock on somebody's door and ask them if they know the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we get a chance, witness to them and tell them about Jesus Christ. But tonight, think about your life. If you had the opportunity right now to tell Jesus Christ to someone, would you know how to explain the gospel to them? Would you know how to share your witness with them? Well, I think as Christians we need to. Philip's going up to Samaria, and he's down there, and the Bible tells us people are being saved right and left. Well, that's the evangelism part of a church. There's a lot of different things to do that we do to get the word out, don't we? I can think about mission trips that we went on when Brother Teddy said, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. I was reflecting back to Delbert Milstead. Delbert's a preacher. He'd been here before a long time ago. Seemed like the years passed by pretty quick, but Delbert was in Marshall when we were going to school at Marshall, and he was out at Grange Hall, and I'd go by there on the way out because it's on my way out, and I'd stop and have a Coke with him. And Delbert grew up in Recklaw too, and I can remember going out on camp outs. Me and him and the Boy Scouts, and we'd all go out and we would sing around the campfire. Delbert was a minister of music before he became a preacher and youth director, and he played the guitar well and sing well. And I can remember him singing, "It Only Takes a Spark," around that old campfire. And all the boys would join in. And then we'd have a devotional and things like that. And you know, you don't forget those times. Now the Lord's using him down in Buna, Texas. He's got Central Baptist in Buna down there. And every once in a while we try to get together. But you know, that's the way it is with evangelists and the church. We do all kinds of different things. We have singings here. We have the cantata here. I always enjoy the Christmas season cantata because we invite the whole town to come. And through that message, usually there's one or two come to know Jesus Christ in the musical. Or if not, they go away from here having heard the gospel message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I can remember singings here when they heard the gospel message. But whether we're doing singing, whether we're doing cantatas, whether we're doing missions, whether we're doing visitation door to door, whatever, we are to get the word of God out. Well, in this passage of scripture, we want to look at Philip and watch this picture of conversion in life. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the gospel. Now, let me tell you something. Most of the time when we knock on a church door or somebody's door, we start out by saying, do you go to church? And sometimes we get into religion. Amen? We get into, are you a Methodist? Are you a Baptist? Are you a Assembly of God or whatever you might be, Church of Christ? All of these, Methodist. But we're not preaching a religion. We are to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And people need to hear about Jesus. They don't need to hear about what Baptists believe as much as they need to know about Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who came from glory. It's Jesus Christ who died on the cross. It's Jesus Christ who rose again. And it's Jesus Christ one day that's coming back. They need to hear that, or else they will go out into eternity lost, you see. Then after they know the message of the gospel, then you can talk about getting into the right church. But, you know, that's what we're to do, preach Jesus Christ. And there's one sure thing, when Philip was speaking, they were listening to the message. Because verse 8, look what verse 8 says, and there was a great joy in that city. Folks, when people hear the message of Jesus Christ, and when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, there's a great joy there. There's a great peace in your life. God gives joy. Look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip, he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, and both men and women were baptized. When Jesus is preached, there's joy in a life. When Jesus is preached, people believe and are baptized into the kingdom of heaven. And then verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard of that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When Jesus Christ is preached, people receive the word of God and they receive Jesus Christ into their life. Never have I heard yet where we preach a denomination, do people get saved. Folks, it's Jesus Christ that they need to hear. Now, Philip preaches the message of the gospel, and he declares the message of the gospel, and he announces the message of the gospel to these people. And it was a real bold move upon Philip's life. For you know what? The Samaritans were what? They were half-breeds. They were a cross. They were neither Jew nor were they Gentile, and the Jews hated them. The Bible says they were considered dogs. You see, Philip had a heart like Christ. I remember upon a time, Jesus Christ, the Bible says he must go through Samaria. You see, Jesus wanted to reach everyone. He wasn't going to call the Samaritans outcast. He wasn't going to call the Samaritans dogs. He just simply wanted to preach the gospel in Samaria. He wanted people saved. He wanted them to come to know him as Lord and Savior. And it was a very bold move for Philip to go down to Samaria. It was a Samaritan, and he went down there, and he preached the gospel because that's what Jesus said. When the apostles came back to Jesus as he had been talking to the Samaritan woman, Jesus says, the multitudes were great and the fields were white unto harvest. So Philip went back down there and literally reaped the harvest that Jesus Christ said was already white unto harvest. Folks, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be a marvelous thing if when we went out, they had already heard about Jesus Christ and all we had to do is just bring in the harvest? That's what Philip was doing. There was a mighty Holy Spirit moving in that area. And he simply lifted up the name of Jesus. I know that he talked about his miraculous birth. I know he talked about his marvelous light. I know he talked about his matchless death. I know he talked about the mighty resurrection. Oh, friends, when you preach on Jesus Christ, that's what you preach. When we give our testimony, that ought to be our testimony. All about Jesus Christ and him. Lift him up. Lift him up. Doesn't matter how you stumble through it. If you lift up Jesus, he will use that. Also, we see conversion. Not only that, 14, we see a confirmation. Now, the Bible says, when the apostles heard about what was going on down in Samaria and how the people had received the word of God, they wanted to find out what's going on. They wanted to see what's happening down there. So, in other words, they sent Peter and John down there to Samaria. Now, that's interesting, folks. That's real interesting. If you turn over in your Bible, I'm not going to do that, but if you turn over in your Bible and read in Luke 9, you'll find an occasion where Jesus Christ was there, and there was John and James, and there was the Samaritans, and they said this to Jesus, Lord, you know, why don't you just call down fire and just burn these people up? Boy, that's hate, isn't it? Turn them into, just burn them to crisp. That wasn't Jesus' way at all. No, Jesus said, no, we're not going to do that, guys. Now, what a difference when Jesus Christ fills these men with the Holy Spirit, because here they want to go down to Samaria and tell them about Jesus Christ. You see, folks, I believe when you have Jesus Christ in your life, I believe when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, he makes a difference. He turned prejudices away. There's no person that we should hate. There's no one that we should dislike. You know, we should love all people. You remember that we are in a transitional state between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between law and between grace. So the apostles had a very important responsibility to lay the right foundations. They were to lay down the foundations of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love that he had for all people. And in verse 15 it says, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. You see, when they came down to Samaria, now instead of wanting to call fire down from heaven to consume them, they're praying that they will receive the Holy Spirit. You know, that's a wonderful thing. And when you study the book of Acts, it's amazing. This book of Acts is a beautiful history of the early church. You'll find I've told you this before, you'll find three manifestations of what we would call Pentecost in the book of Acts. And this is one of them right here. In Matthew 16, verse 19, Jesus said to Peter, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Now, that's a beautiful thing. Jesus says, I'm giving you the power of the kingdom of heaven in your life. In other words, the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, Peter, with the Holy Spirit in his life, he opens up the door of faith to the Jews. And he preaches Jesus to the Jews. And they have a Jewish Pentecost. And they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their life. In Acts chapter 10, Peter once again preaches the door of faith to the Gentiles. And God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, just opens up to the Gentiles. And there again, you have a Gentile Pentecost. But in chapter 8 of Acts, Peter once again comes down to the Samaritans and he preaches Jesus Christ and he opens up the door of faith to them and they receive the Holy Spirit. So you have a Samaritan Pentecost there. And it's simply that the gospel is not for just one group of people. It's for everyone. Everyone must hear. How do we receive the Holy Spirit today? Well, in Acts 2:38, Peter says, here's how you receive the Holy Spirit, folks. You've got to repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And the moment, I believe, the moment that you receive Jesus Christ, well, somebody said, well, preacher, now, you just said you couldn't be saved without baptism. I know what you're thinking. And he said, repent and be baptized. And he's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, folks. And the moment you say yes to Jesus Christ, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and seals you for all eternity. Isn't that good news, boy? I've got the Holy Spirit. I can't get rid of it. Yeah. He's there. You know how I know? Because Romans 8 says, and he affirms it, he said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of mine. If you don't have the Holy Spirit tonight, you're not his yet. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you're his. And these apostles, they go down there to Samaria to authenticate what has happened. They've heard about it, what Philip's doing down there. Now, the second thing they do, I spit all over my Bible. Second thing they do is there's consecration to the Samaritans. You look what they say. They'd fallen upon none of them. They had been baptized in the name of Jesus. And they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Consecration. They laid hands on these. Now, that's something that the Jews just didn't do. You don't touch Samaritans. But they did. Listen, when Christ comes, like I've said already, he breaks down all barriers. No longer is it Jews and Gentiles. It's brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, that's who we are. You and I, as believers, are brothers and sisters in Christ. All the barriers, there's no rich, there's no poor, there's no Hebrew or anything else. We're all one in Christ. We're one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, folks. Isn't that wonderful to know? And there's a spiritual oneness that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, look on a little further. There's a contradiction here. Anytime that the real fire of God falls, you can just book it. The old devil doesn't like it. You see? Every time God's fire falls, old Satan likes to copy it. He likes his own fire going. And in verse 9, it says, there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery, witchcraft. He was in the city and astonished people. He astonished people by the things that he did, the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, sorcerer. He practiced witchcraft. He did all kinds of things. That's the reason I don't like the shows on television about witchcraft. That's the reason I don't the shows about wizards and things on TV. I think that's getting towards satanic stuff. And I think we just need to turn that stuff off. And he told them, this man told them that he was powerful. And he did all kinds of things. He was of the occults, you see. And it's amazing to me that they followed him. People always get caught up in the sensational, don't they? And anytime there's something sensational going on, people follow that. Well, this man was a trickster. This man was a wizard. This man was a crook. And he had the whole city fooled. But when he sees people getting saved and the power of Jesus coming upon their life, and he sees the miracles that are happening and life changing and people getting healed, and people by the power of God moving, he comes to Peter. And he said, listen, can I have this same power? I'll pay you for it. You see? His focus was not on the message of Jesus Christ. His focus was not on the miracles of Jesus Christ. He didn't focus on the Savior. What he was wanting to do was focus on the signs and the miracles and the things like that. Now, I'll tell you something. One Easter we boiled hard-boiled eggs. Mother always boiled those things, and she'd put them in a carton. And the only way you can tell a hard-boiled egg, if it ain't cracked, from a real egg is what? To crack it. And what's on the inside comes out all over you. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Everybody that walks down this aisle, everybody that comes down here is not saved. Does that fool you? It doesn't fool me a bit. Some people come because emotionalism. Some people come because of sensationalism. Some people come just to see what it's all about. Some people come just to put their name on a church. But you know what? That doesn't save everyone. But you know what? I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. And the only way to know is to watch their life and see what comes out of their life. If Christ comes out of their life, then more than likely he's in there. If they're filled with the Holy Spirit and you see the Holy Spirit upon their life and they're living for Jesus Christ, you can tell the difference. But if a person comes down and there's no change whatsoever in their life, more than apt, God is not there. You see, Simon was one of these men. He had a profession, but not a possession. You see, he made a head acknowledgment, but not in the heart. For the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, what? Confession is made unto salvation, folks. Now, what about you tonight? What about you? You've heard the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've heard how he was born, how he came, how he died, how he rose again, and one day he's coming back. So what about you? Have you ever had a change in your heart? Has the Holy Spirit ever come into your life and made that change? Do you know he's inside of you tonight? I was told right before I came in that there's two young people in Kemp had a car wreck and died. What a tragedy. It is a tragic, and the other one was careful, I did to the hospital and may not live. But folks, I could only think, did they know Jesus? That was the first thing that crossed my mind. Did they come here? Did they hear about Jesus while they was here? I wonder if they knew Jesus. The tragedy is, if they didn't, they'll be lost for eternity. Oh, folks, that's the way it is. Life is just like that. We live for just a vapor, the Bible says, and then we're gone. And the only thing that we are sure of is the Word of God. And if we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when that midnight cry comes, I'll be going home. I know that. I have that assurance in my heart. You see, I don't doubt. There's a difference in my life. There's the Holy Spirit living there. What about you? Is there any difference between you and lost people? I want you to just think about that. Ask yourself that this morning or this evening. Am I born again? Have I received the Holy Spirit into my life? If not, wouldn't you like to do it tonight? Wouldn't you like to know? Every time I preach on knowing Jesus Christ, someone says, but how do you know? You just know. The Bible says, these things have I written that ye may know. And folks, if you don't know, then you need to know. I don't want to try to scare anybody. I just don't want you to die and go to hell lost. And I see it Sunday after Sunday. Someone said, preacher, are you discouraged that no one came this morning? The aisles ought to have been full. No. I'm not discouraged. But I pray awful hard that people, when they leave this building, that they're saved. Because if you die before you come back in here, and that just as soon could have been you in that car wreck. And if you'd have died before you got back tonight, you'd have been lost for all eternity. Now you think about that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I pray, and I just ask you, Lord, if somebody's here tonight that they don't know, Lord, don't let them be afraid to step out. Give them the courage, Lord, to just stand and says, I want to know. I want to be sure. And I'm coming tonight, not because of sensationalism or emotionalism. I'm just coming tonight simply because I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want the peace that passes all understanding. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.